Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So this morning's passage comes from Romans 5. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. For sin indeed was the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death resigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who were sinning, was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, many more have the grace of God, and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death resigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Come on, that's worthy of praise right there. Come on, y'all. Thank you, God, for your amazing grace. Thank you that we're saved by this awesome grace that you have made available to us, Lord. Thank you that through one man and through him taking upon himself the cross, that we are now sons and daughters, Lord, bought by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we are made righteous. God, we are in right standing with God. We are new creatures. We're new creations. In this new year, we celebrate your amazing grace towards us, God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for destiny and purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to be a part of the body of Christ who's been bought by the blood of Jesus. And thank you that you are preparing a bride for your coming, Lord God, as you come on a white horse. I can't wait to see you come from heaven, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, tattooed on your thighs, Lord. That's the way you're rolling back, and we can't wait to see it, God. And Lord, despite the devastation that we are experiencing as a nation right now, Lord, we thank you that that same amazing grace that was paid for us is still continuing to have its outworking. We pray for your amazing grace to reign in our nation during this time, in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted amen. Come on and give God praise, everybody. For those of you who are new here in this new year, my name is Nelly. I'm a senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. Can we give it up for those who are here for the first time? So glad you could join us here today. I know many people are on vacation, but you started your new year right. You came to the house of the Lord to worship God. But before we step into this new year, we wanted to celebrate what God's done in this last year, in 2019. So we're just going to show you this video to show you a few highlights. Check it out. Hey everybody, it's Nelly here, and it's that time of year where we start reflecting on all that God has done over this last year. 2019 has been a great year, a year of a lot of lessons. And I'm reminded of Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22, where it says, "Because of his great love for us, we are not consumed. And therefore, we see a love and a compassion that never fails and is new every morning." I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the love and the lessons that he's taught us this year. Let's look at some of those lessons. The first lesson that I think about that we learned as a church was that there is a direct correlation between the depth of worship and prayer and the breadth of what he brings to us in his mission and all that he has for us in terms of blessing. I often think about the new depths of worship and prayer that we're experiencing in our services, the way we've reformatted our services so we can have more time to pray for one another. And also the depths of worship and prayer that we're seeing in Shift, and as we even go outside of Shift and actually pray for people outside on the streets and in our workplaces, and activating people to take prayer to another level, both personally and corporately.
Actually, he gives us the opportunity to get out and take prayer into the streets and into the nations. Some of our team have actually had the opportunity to go and be equipped at the School of Intercession in Belgium earlier this year. So prayer is very instrumental in everything that we do. Secondly, God has also re-emphasized the importance of spiritual health and the health of our souls in discipleship. So as we walk in discipleship relationships, one of the things that we've observed is the importance of walking out in our healing and healing shame.
I had the recent blessing of being part of the Healing Shame seminar, and it was amazing. It exceeded all my expectations. I found some stuff being broken off in my life. I found the Holy Spirit coming in and wanting to address some of the deep cries of my heart. It was amazing.
We've reformatted the way we do our For Freedom weekend sessions, because this is all with regards to seeing the power of the Holy Spirit, not just with a one-time touch, but seeing God have an ongoing impact in the freedom that we walk out in and helping others to walk in that freedom as well.
We did a lot over the Freedom weekend, but I think what came out to me was the importance of forgiveness. If we learn how to forgive others as God has forgiven us, it just sets us free from so many different areas of our life that have kept us in bondage over the years.
In this, we've seen a number of people come to know Christ, come to be baptized, and then go on to see ongoing victory in areas of addiction, in areas where they've seen their lives impacted by generational curses and inner vows that have been made. It's just been amazing to see the level of freedom that is happening in our church, and it's ongoing too. That's exciting. Also, God has re-emphasized the importance of reaching and loving on the next generation, because the next generation is the now generation. We've seen their lives impacted through Alpha being run in our youth and our campus ministry.
Youth equips me with a lot of things like the gospel. It gives you practice and the confidence to talk to other people in order for them to learn more about God.
Our campus ministers have run the Here to Hear You program, and seeing the roundtables happening where we're able to start conversations where people can grow deeper in their understanding of the faith that we embrace as Christians. He also has taught us the importance of walking together as family, spiritual family, in community, wherever we go and whatever we do. Because it's through family we see those who are without family come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Most people belong before they become and eventually believe.
The one thing that I value the most with our spiritual family is how we can share our lives together. It's such an encouraging moment that you know that others are praying for you, can understand what you're going through, and at the same time, you can learn through what their experiences are and how God works in their lives.
And it's not just family where we exist right now. Here at Kangaroo Point, it's a blessing to see us congregate together and celebrate family as we go about our lives throughout the city of Brisbane. But what's exciting is when we take this element of family and take it to the nations. So this year, we also went to Samoa, and we went to Europe, and seeing the impact of our family in these different nations is so important, so vital, because it's through that that people encounter the Heavenly Father and the community that He brings together as He builds people in family.
And now a fire has been lit within me. Love you so much. I cannot believe I now have family in Brisbane. Till we meet again, by God's grace.
So it's these different environments that we're really excited about. Logan's going to be our first of many, where we will see an environment of deep worship and prayer. We will see environments of deep discipleship. We will see lives impacted with outreach. And of course, taking our spiritual family all over the city and all over the nations. That's the sort of environment we want to see. And I'm so excited about it. The vision is clear. It's 2020 clear. Can you believe it? Are you ready? Come on, are you ready to go with me? Let's go.
Y'all ready for 2020? Let's do this, man. Really excited. Had to throw the dad pun in there. It's 2020 vision.
We're really excited about what God has for us as a church this year. But as many of you know, the heart behind our church is that we are a part of a family of churches that exists to honor God by planting and Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And so part of that is being socially responsible. And it's, you know, with grievous hearts at the start of this year, unfortunately, and also the end of last year, that we've been experiencing some of the worst fires that we've experienced in our nation. just looking at the statistics, it's amazing just the number of fires that are happening right now in our nation. Actually, just seeing the satellite pictures of our nation, especially along the southeastern coast, where New South Wales borders Victoria and then into southern Australia. Obviously, we've had fires in our state as well, but we stand with those who are in these areas of our nation that are being completely devastated. I mean, there was many times just watching the news yesterday, just starting to grieve for just the people that are being impacted by that. And so as a church, we want to do our part. And so what we're going to do is actually at this time, I know that most of you in this room are not prepared for it, and that's okay, but we want to take up an offering which will go towards efforts that are happening on the ground in these communities. We've been in touch with a specific community in Victoria where they've lost homes and been devastated by the loss. So we're actually going to take up an offering right now, but as I said, many of you may not be able to donate now or to offer your offering right now towards just supporting the communities that have been devastated by this. There are other opportunities, but we'll present our bank account details. Just all you have to do is just put in the reference area, just put bushfire so we know where the money will go, and we'll give you some updates as to the efforts and that we're doing as a church. So just reference bushfires. That's our account details. Up there you can see where the fires are currently. Just continue to keep our nation in prayer. So let's pray. Let's pray for that right now. God, we thank you that your grace is not just for salvation, but your grace is for, and you know, it's given to us so that we can be a part of that restoration process. Lord, a major part of your gospel is how you restore us to help restore others. And our nation is in need of restoration. Right now, Lord, we even pray and believe, God, that you're going to move the elements to bring rain. Lord God, we know that you speak to the wind and it ceases. We know that you speak to the sun to stand still and you stop time. God, you're the one that flung the heavens and the earth from your palms. And so we know that you are in control of the elements. So right now, Lord, we ask, based on the authority of Jesus Christ, that you would send rain right now over these areas of our nation, Lord, our great nation, the Southland of the Holy Spirit. Right now, in Jesus' name, we just pray, Lord, right now that you would send rain all through the areas in New South Wales, Lord God, around our great capital as well in Canberra, God, or even through the areas in Victoria and South Australia that are being devastated right now. Lord, in fact, we just pray over every bushfire, Lord God, right now that you would send rain. Lord, we unite our faith with the faith of the body of Christ, believing that the God of all elements, the God of the winds and the rains would rectify the situation. And Lord, that this would be the finest hour of the body of Christ, that we would rise up in this time, Lord God, and do our part to come alongside those who are grieving, who have experienced loss, Lord God, whether it's providing resources, providing counsel. Lord, help us, Lord God, as a church to be activated in all of this, Lord God. And even as we enter into this season of prayer and fasting, Lord God, at the beginning of the year, Lord, we press in towards the God of Australia, asking that your amazing grace would be seen in these areas of devastation right now, in Jesus' name. Lord, let Australia rise up into her destiny in you. Lord, this is the hour that it happens, God. We prophesy it. We pray, Lord God, that you would activate the church to come outside of the four walls and be activated towards seeing, Lord God, the restoration, the gospel restoration of your kingdom coming in Australia as it is in heaven. We thank you for it. We thank you for this opportunity to give, to love, to sow, and to pray, Lord God, believing that the God of great love would restore his nation of Australia in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue to keep our nation in prayer as this goes along. But yeah, take a photo or take a note of those details and we'll update you on all of that. Just so you know, I mean, I'll announce it now. Hopefully you're aware of this part because we've been announcing it for the last few weeks, but I know we've got a lot of newer people here that may not be aware that we're actually starting a week of prayer and fasting this week. I'm super excited about it. And that's, you know, that has to be a move of God, because I like eating. No one else likes eating. Maybe it's just me. But I'm really excited, because for all that God has for us as a church this year, I know He's going to want to do a deep work in all of us to take us deeper in Him. And so the expectation is that God would take us deeper in His heart, because sometimes there's a necessity of the removal of the noise of life in order that we hear the heartbeat of God, and that's our heart. So this week, obviously, we're having shift again, our night of prayer and worship. I've missed it over the last couple of weeks, so we'll be back in on Wednesday, but I'm really excited about this. If you go to our Facebook page, Every Nation Brisbane Facebook page, on every night, from 7 to 8:30, we will be engaging in a time of live prayer and sometimes worship, depending on who's doing it. we'll just leave it at that. So you can, because some people that might be praying may be just good at prayer. Let's just leave it at that. But over the from shift, so we'll be live streaming from shift, which is at 6:30 p.m. On Highgate Hill. At the Lithuania Community Hall, okay, so take a note of that. Join us for prayer. So that's usually from 6:30 to 8. We're going to be praying from 6:30 to 8, and we'll live stream that. But we're also going to be live streaming for 24 hours, okay, of prayer and worship. We've actually taken some time to roster people on for specific times. So pray for those people that they don't sleep through the hours that they have been delegated to pray. So over that 24 hours, and of course, a lot of what we'll be praying for is our nation as well, our church. But beyond that, we want to use that opportunity to pray for people that you know that might be dealing with sickness. We want to declare God's healing over people. We want to use that as an opportunity to see God move in prayer as we pray and worship Him. So that'll be from 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, and then it'll carry on until 24 hours after that. Sorry, I don't have maths in my brain right now. 6:30 does. I think we're actually going to go to 8 on Thursday, and then Friday we will have our last session and break our fast. So join us on that. That, if for those of you who are like, well, I'm fasting Facebook, I understand that. You know, I'm taking time off from Facebook. That's okay. I get that. But maybe just watch someone else's Facebook. So it's not my pastor is trying to deviate me from my fast, but just know that that's there as a source. And if you know you have any prayer needs whatsoever, if you have anything that you need prayer for, that's a good time to send it our way so that we can be praying for those specific prayer needs. All right, you ready to get into the Word of God? A topic today, and it's actually the topic that, as we're going through this series, I want you to know that this series is being preached all over the Every Nation world this month. So no matter where you go, in every nation church, we're actually going through the same series, and I've been really excited to go through the series, talk about the grace of God. So abundant grace. Everybody say abundant grace. How amazing grace transforms our relationship with God. Now, there was a guy by the name of John Newton who wrote the song, Amazing Grace. A lot of it was due to his experience with the grace of God hitting him in terms of being saved. And towards the end of his life, as he started to go blind, he wrote the song, Amazing Grace, which completely transformed his life, because he was in England as a primary proponent of slavery in England, but had the grace completely transform him, where he not only got rid and freed his slaves, but fought for the freedom of slaves, because he understood the slavery that he was in without the grace of God. But have you ever asked yourself the question? Because when you hear a song time and time again, it's one of the most sung songs in churches all over the world. It can get dull after a while. How many of you have heard a song over and over again? It's like, it was fun the first few times, but if I hear Hey Ya one more time, or if I hear Shake It Off one more time, or if I, what's that song for you that irritates you? Watch Me Whip, Watch Me Nay Nay. Like one of those songs that it was okay, it was fun. Old Town Road last year, right? That's the song for me. Like, if I hear that song one more time, I don't know if I'll be a Christian. But like Amazing Grace, when you hear that song over and over again, you can often lose it, often can lose its power. And you can ask the question, what's so amazing about this grace? Because grace simply becomes defined by what you do before you eat your food. You say grace. But let's look at what the Word of God says here, right? In Romans chapter 5, which was so well read by Steph, I actually think Steph should start a radio show because I love the way she speaks and reads. It says here, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. And what does all that mean? It means that sin existed before the law existed, because God, according to Psalm 119, that God has written the law on our hearts. All you have to do is go upstairs and visit kids' church, right? You don't have to tell the kids up there to steal the toys from the other kids. How many of you noticed that? You don't have to go, okay, like my youngest is Jordan. She's older now. But like if I said to Jordan, who's eight, like if she was 4 years old and I said to her, you know what? There's Braden over there. Why don't you go steal the toy from Braden? Why don't you go over there? There's Leanne. Why don't you steal the toy from Leanne? I don't have to tell her that, because there's a natural proclivity within her to do that. And some of y'all are looking at me like, yeah, it came from you. I don't know. There's another parent. I'm just... So you don't need the law to know that when you're in sin. Sin entered the world before the law came. Many of you know, right? In Genesis, in the first three chapters, in the third chapter, this is when we see sin come into the world. And what's often asked is why, if God knew we were going to sin, why did he put the tree in there in the first place? The tree was an object of worship. The sin was we wanted to be worshipped. We wanted to be God. And that sin still exists today. When you look at the heart of every sin, it always is idolatry. At the heart of every sin, it's always, I know better than God, or I think better than God, or I put myself better than God. So it's pride and idolatry that is the center of every sin that we commit. But I want to, and I'll address this a little bit later, but there's a difference between sin, the event, and sin, the condition of our heart. Now, Ravi Zacharias, the great apologist who is one of the main apologists that I think is a great example of how one should defend the faith. He talks about sin actually pointing towards the existence of God. He says it this way, right? That we should all know that evil is not an intrinsic quality on its own. Evil is the perversion of good. Some of you have heard me use this example before. How many of you like cats? In this room. Okay, there's a few cat lovers. Memory, all alone in... Anyone seen the movie Cats? Good, you're still saved. I like dogs.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hot dogs. But if you like cats, right? If I like cats, and how many of you know that water is good for you? Yeah, water is good for you. A high percentage of your body is actually water. But if I take a cat, which is good for about four people in here, and I take water, which is good for all of us, and I take the cat and I drown it in the water, what am I doing? First of all, report me. But like, what I'm doing is I'm taking two things that were intended to be used for good, but perverting their purpose. That's evil, is when you take something that was purposed for something else, but you use it against its purpose and against what God intended it for. That's what evil is. So you've got good and you've got evil, right? So how do we know the difference? How do we know the difference between what is good and what is evil? This is what we call the law, right? This means yes. For those of you listening to the podcast, you can nod your head too. But like the delineation between good and evil is the law. Now, we can't, I don't know if you've noticed this, but coming back to my analogy of this child, we ourselves can't figure out the law ourselves because we are not basically good. We intrinsically have evil tendencies. We intrinsically have, as that passage said, we intrinsically have a sinful nature. So it'll be like you sinking in quicksand. Help me. And then you trying to grab your arm and pull yourself out of the quicksand yourself. I did it. No, you can't. You can't do that. It has to be an external party that draws the line between what is good and evil, because we will never be able to recognize what it is. And this is God. We call him God. Some might call him a supreme being or whatever. But we know him to be Jesus, because according to Romans 3, if you look at the law, all have sinned and fallen short because of the law. We've all broken the law of the glory of God. And this is the difference between sin and the law. The author of the book, What's So Amazing About Grace, is Philip Yancey, and he says this: law merely indicated the sickness, but grace brought about the cure. See, we need to know the law in order that we know that we're sick with sin. If I offered you a cure for cancer, you'd be like, oh, that's great. Help somebody else who has cancer. But if I told you you had 5 days to live because you have cancer, and then I give you the cure, how many of you know that's a lot more amazing now? Half nods. All right. I need you to understand the power of this and enter into 2020 understanding the power of this. This grace that has been given to us is not appreciated unless we recognize that we deserve hell. We deserve sin. We deserve death. We deserve it because we have all sinned and we are sinful. But by his grace, and by the way, it's what the Bible calls right here in Romans 5, a free gift. Woohoo, we like things for free. And this is a part of the reason why we may not appreciate it, not because of the over-announcement of it, but because it's free. Because when we think of something that's free, we either think that there is some sort of hidden agenda in it, or we think it's going to have the quality of the cost that was paid for it, because it's free. It's free to you, but somebody paid for it. And this is the part that a lot of people don't recognize. Death was the price for that free gift that we now experience. And death is what we deserved. Every single one of us. Happy New Year. But the free gift that God gives to us through his son Jesus Christ, this better break every religious spirit in here. I hope you catch this. This free gift was not free to him. He sent the best of heaven, according to Romans 8. If he would not withhold his son from you, how would he not withhold everything from heaven with you? How would we stand back and think he would not save us from this devastation of this fire? He will. He will come through. In his sovereign plan, he will come through. He may not come through the way we want him to come through, but you better believe the Lord of Australia is going to come through. He will come through. But it's us. We cheapen it. We cheapen this grace. So we think like here's the line. Here's the line of good and evil. And so, you know, as long as I go to church on Sunday and then I can, you know, repent and say, sorry, God, for, is there a song on the song list where I can sing about being sorry? And so hopefully in that sorriness, then I can receive the free gift like it's a pamphlet at a bank or a food donation at a food bank of some sort. No, the price that has been paid was death and separation in order that we can walk in oneness with God. That's the free gift. But the free gift is not like the trespass, because, see, trespassers would think that because I trespassed, I just have to pay a little bit of price. And here's often the misnomer. I'm not as bad as person X. I haven't done enough to put me in prison or whatever it may be. So, you know, I'm not that bad. So little bit sin, little bit price. I know that's bad English, but I got your attention. That I'll do whatever it takes. Bad grammar for the sake of the gospel. But hopefully you're catching what I'm saying. No, we all deserve the same punishment. We all deserve to be separated from God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God, the free gift by the grace that one man, hallelujah, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin, for the judgment following one's trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. We are justified. We are justified. Do you understand what that word means? It's not just a Justin Timberlake album name. It's a lot more than that. We are justified. A price has been paid. We are no longer condemned. We're no longer sentenced to that sentence. We are free now. And there is a response that God calls us into. Because when you understand the price that's been paid, it should naturally draw us to worship, draw us to live a lifestyle that abandons all because we are so thankful for that amazing grace that has been poured out for us. See, grace is not just focused on the event of the sins, but on the condition of our heart in sin. It's not just saying, oh, I sinned on Saturday, so I come to church on Sunday, so hopefully my bank balance of righteousness will be just enough to cover me for the sins that I'll commit on Monday and Tuesday. And if I lift my hands even more, that means that there's more bank deposit in my righteousness. No, it doesn't work like that. God wants to get you in the heart. There's a reason why he says that, you know, you have heard it said, referring to the Ten Commandments, Jesus says, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But you know what? I'm after your heart. He doesn't change the commandment. He goes after the heart because many people are thinking, well, I haven't committed adultery. I'm 2,000 years before the internet. We don't have pornography yet. But he says, you know, if you look lustfully upon someone else, dare I say male or female, if you look lustfully upon them with your eyes, you have committed adultery in your heart. Oh, that's a great equalizer, isn't it? Don't worry, I won't ask for a show of hands. We have video, roll it. No, I'm just kidding. The Bible also goes on to say, this is Jesus talking in the same sermon. He says, you have heard it said, do not commit murder. But if you look upon somebody with anger, hatred in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. Oh, a bit uneasy. Hopefully the Lord doesn't see my Facebook status, my cryptic way of saying, take him down. Guilty as charged. See, we as humans think, okay, it's basically the sins I got caught with. But God's like, I'm after your heart because out of your heart flow the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I want your heart. That's where my grace works best. I didn't come to change your behavior. I came to give you a new heart. Your behavior comes out of the transformation of your heart. And it's not a matter of big sin, little sin. It's all your heart. He's either Lord of all your heart or he's not Lord at all of your heart. Right? For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass leads to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Turn to somebody, tell them, you can have life. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. For by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Look, the name Adam means first man, okay? And many of us would say, oh, it's Adam's fault. Knucklehead. Or blame it on Eve. Do you remember what the instruction was from God? You can eat from any tree in the garden. Any tree in the garden. Have at it. But this one tree, like MC Hammy, can't touch this. Right? You just don't go near it. But oh, the human tendency to hang out by the tree. Let's say this whiteboard is the tree and this whole room is the Garden of Eden. I could party over here, party over there, hey! But the human tendency, hang out by the tree. I'm not eating the fruit. I'm just a leaf inspector. I'm just, autumn's coming soon. Tickle the leaves. Feel the bark, become a botanist based on this one species of tree. Let me study it. I'm not crossing the line. And so we think that God's a killjoy because he put the line there. If he knew we were going to sin, why did he put a tree there? Well, the point is, right, The tree is an object to remind people that God is in charge. Just worship Him. Enjoy the garden. Part of being a Christian is the enjoyment of life. Did you know that? It's not sucking the juice out of life. But Christians walk around like, oh, I can't hang out by the tree. I want to be by the tree. I'm like, what? A lot of Christians, Monday to Saturday, you know, like building apartments next to trees. Just, No one's looking at me on Monday to Saturday, so I'm just going to, you know, hang out by the tree. Timeshare by the tree, Airbnb by the tree, just have a little tree house. I'm not eating the fruit. And what animal did the enemy use for his ploy? Was it a lion that had to roar because the Christian, all of us, Adam and Eve, were on the other side of the garden? Roar! Come over here and eat the fruit. Roar! No, he used an animal that had like a tiny mouth that you can't hear if you're miles away. If you're miles away from the tree, you can't hear, so what's up, by the tree. The Bible says it was a serpent. Other translations say a snake. I don't know. A serpent, snake, they're tiny mouths. So in order to hear the serpent, you have to be in close proximity with the tree. You have to be near the tree. Oh, did you talk to me? Because if I was over there, you can't hear me, but... I'm just hanging by the tree. And it's these sorts of people that can't, if we stay in that zone, we can't appreciate the amazing grace that God has for us because we don't understand the wonder that He surrounded us with. The enjoyment of His creation, the enjoyment of this life that we get to live. And guess what? It's eternal. We get to enjoy His presence. We get to enjoy relationships with people around us and the parameters that He gives us to enjoy these relationships. We get to enjoy the fact that we're destined and purposed. We live in one of the richest countries in the world. We get to enjoy Australia, but we focus on what we don't have, and that's why we hang out by the tree, because we think, oh, this tree might provide me with something that I don't have yet, because it's the one tree I can't touch. So, I'm not eating the fruit. I'm just, you say something. And this is the trap we fall into, brothers and sisters. I'm not watching porn. I'm just, you know, it's rated mature, so I can, you know, get away with it. And on those scenes, I'll just, you know, cover my eyes and, oh, you know, it's not sin. But or your vices, you know, like when the pressure's on, it's like, do I run to God? Do I enjoy His presence, or do I run to the tree? What the tree can provide for me, whatever those vices are. Because it can give me temporary relief. That's idolatry. The point is that, is He Lord? And look at the way this passage ends. Now, the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, how many of you are thankful for this? Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Oh, grace works best in the darkness. But self-righteous Christians won't go into the darkness. Because guess what? Their hearts are still darkened too. We just put a cross on our hanging by the tree, fish sticker on the bumper of our hanging by the tree vehicles. But here's what I want you to catch. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through what? Jesus Christ, our what? Our Lord. Notice it's not Savior. Notice it's not friend, shepherd, pastor. It's Lord. That word means boss. That word means the one who calls the shots. That means that He is King. He rules. He is in charge. It's simply put, there are two types of people in this room today. Those who recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives. The one who paid the price so that we could have the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And there's those who don't. And there's not a condemnation in terms of a judgment from people who don't recognize that, but all I'm here to say is that you're in the right place to be introduced to this message, which really is the gospel, that if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, King, boss, it doesn't mean you have to get your life perfect in order to enter into this relationship with Lordship. In fact, His Lordship works best when you recognize you're the worst. I'm the worst. I am the worst. Like Paul said, the author of this scripture, I am the worst of sinners. When you recognize
how sinful we really are, no matter how long we've been a Christian. But by the grace, the amazing grace of God, we have been saved and we have this free gift. You begin to realize, wow, this grace really is amazing. And guess what? It's abundant. It's an abundant grace, meaning that it doesn't run out. He gives us an abundant life. He's either Lord of your life or he's not. This is what the word, and this is a word that is very Christianese. And we understand it in this room, for the most part, if you're a Christian or a follower of God or follower of Christ. This is what repentance means. It means stop staring at the tree, turn away from sin, and turn towards me. But it's not just turning towards God as in just God, but everything that he has for you can be seen when you magnify him and don't magnify the tree. What do you magnify? You can tell if Jesus is Lord by what they magnify in their lives, what occupies their life. And then when they're stressed out about those things that start to fail them, do you lean on God or do you lean on, like Proverbs 3:5 says, your own understanding? Today is the day that we get to repent. Turn away from sin, turn towards God. When we turn towards sin and things go wrong, there is condemnation. There is guilt. But when we turn towards him, Romans 8, same author, same book. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of spirit and life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. I want us to get in groups of 3, 4, just around you. And I'm just going to give you 5 minutes to ask this question. Are you walking in the grace of God, abandoning sin and trusting Jesus Christ as Lord? If you are, tell us about it. Tell your group about it. And if you aren't, would you like to? Would you like to make this first Sunday of 2020 the Sunday that you say, well, you know what, I've been trusting in my own strength, but I want to trust in the one who is Lord. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you this morning for your amazing grace towards us, your amazing love towards us. Totally undeserved, totally unmerited. God, we pray, Lord, that you'd give us the grace to trust you. To trust you at your word. To trust beyond the God of just empty ritualism and religion, Lord God. To trust in the God who moves heaven and earth in order to meet us here today. And so, God, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to come move in every conversation, move in every prayer, and draw your people towards yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.